Bhagavad-gītām, or the Gītā-bhāṣya Ramacārya, when we are doing some prayer, then he offers obeisances to Lord Krishna as the speaker of the Bhagavad-gītām. So all our Gītā classes will be starting with that prayer. So I tell the meaning now, what is it like? So Ramacārya says, Prapanna-pārijātāya, Sotra, at the meaning of the text today. Sotra is praying upon that Lord, since the original shelter, Pārijātā is a Lord, tree which never, which flowers never lose their blossom. So like that, the Lord is a shelter, whose shelter never fades away for those who keep surrender, who surrender to Prapanna Pārijātāya. That Lord, he is an extraordinary force. What does he mean? Sotra Vetra Ekamani. Ekamani is one of his hands. He is Sotra Vetra. Sotra Vetra is a stick for controlling the animals. He is a charioteer, the stick, a whip. He is using for controlling the horse. That is there in one hand. Now they have become the charioteer. Suddenly, so first of all, they expect the Lord, who is the shelter of everyone, to become a charioteer is unexpected. But now that charioteer has also taken an unexpectedly different profile. He has become a teacher. So, Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya. So that Lord Krishna has become the Jnana Mudraya, the enlightening of Krishna. And what does he mean? He is Amrita Sute Namaha. I offer my wishes to him. He is giving the nectar of Namaha.
Prapanna Parijataya.
Prapanna Parijataya.
Sotra Vetrai Prapanaye. Jnana Mudraya Krishnaya.
Mudraya Krishnaya.
Gītām Sutuhe Namaha.
Welcome all of you. Extraordinary setting. They study eternal wisdom in a very ancient setting using modern technology. So, we had met earlier to discuss the issue of Isha, and in one sense, our focus here will be the exact opposite of what we were doing earlier. We have taken the Bhaktivedanta course in detail, that we read the whole book together. And the Vaishya Kalpavedanta course discussed a wide variety of philosophical topics. But here in the Bhagavad Gita, we will be focusing mainly on the flow and the concept of the Gita. That we will get an overview and flow of the Buddhism. And second, this is some aspect of some of the verses which are in the controversy. That we will discuss some word meanings and see what people are challenged with, what the contrary understandings are, and how they can be the future of the future of our nation. So, I don't have 4 points here. I will be having 2 word files to explain over here. So 1 word file will be having different translations of all the Gita verses. And in between, certain comments are added, which will be the section titles and a few connecting links for the verses of the section. And the second is a file of just the Sanskrit verses. So there is a comment for some important work, which is what Acharya is saying. Now, of course, then we will have Prabhupada's Gita, and Prabhupada's support, some important sentences which are there, we will highlight. And these are not not have much time for questions. Last time we had a lot of questions. So, one type of question that we can take is if you have a clarification of the flow of what I'm seeing. So when we are discussing the flow, then if you have a question, you can discuss that. And when you come to Chan directly, if you are not here, then you can ask. And but depending on the time of the speaking, you can decide whether you can take it or not. Best would be if you could have relationships with everyone. And if you have any questions, you can write them in the email. And if they are very important, which I feel like a relationship, know that I can discuss at the end of the session, 40 minutes if we start. Or otherwise, maybe we can plan to meet some other time. Then we will put them together. Yeah, we will be listening to it quite a bit. But I found that that word gives good section analysis. But it does not give anything. It is a connection from one section to another. And it doesn't very clearly tell us the flow from one word to another. It is nice. It is good. There is a little bit. After that, I have that also as a word file, as a PDF file for it. You can see it in the file. So, now the Bhagavad Gita, we will be starting with the first chapter, and there are how many verses in the Gita? 70 verses, and we have 34 hours as per calculation. So we have to complete 20 verses per hour.
Something like that is complete, 50 to 20 verses per hour.
So our target for today was 3 chapters, 1 verse, 2 verses, 3 verses. First two chapters are almost like 160 verses.
So 160 verses, we have lost already 1 hour.
So in 4.5 hours, this will be challenging. So I have done this sort of movie already for the Bangalore Mobile movie. In 5 chapters, so it's not really difficult. But we just recite the verses together. Every verse we recite for the computer point. And then, one by one, everything, we just move. We just need the translation to that. So, if you need something, I just need to read from it to that. Then we move forward. Chapter, as you know, has 46 verses. And in one sense, from a philosophical point of view, it's the easiest chapter. So, generally, the Gaudiya Math Press, which is published in the Devotion of Krishna Devotee community, they have given names to particular chapters. But those names are not given by the particular authors. But those names are traditionally there. So, we will discuss those names that we can whenever it's relevant to our main discussion. And we will move forward. So, I had several options of taking the things I shared as commentaries also. But as I said, we don't have much time. It's only technical. So, I will be focusing mostly on Shmanji Sahib's commentaries because his commentaries are very little rustic. So, we will try to lighten the mood because we have discussed a lot of philosophy. So, mainly, the Shmanji Sahib's commentaries and a few other comments from other commentaries. So, the first chapter often has two names. Prabhupada is the first name, observing the Arjuna in the back. That is, Sainya Darshana Yoga or Sainya Niriksha Yoga. Now, the other name, which is what Vishnu Bhagavad Gita has, is Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Now, in one sense, both of them are relevant because the first chapter has two parts. So, now, we We will discuss also the significance of the name that Sri Prabhupada has given. So Arjuna Vishada Yoga is the lamentation of Arjuna. Every chakra in the yoga, Chakravarti Pada says that every chakra is a jewel and the Bhagavad Gita is like a treasure from a angel. This is one pile which we have. So as you know, the first section, the preparation for war, I mean the discussion of the
two parties' strengths and weaknesses.
So let's recite the words.
Dhritarashtra vacha dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samareta yuttavah
Mamaka Pandava Shaiva Vinapurva Sanjaya. Now, the word Kurukshetra, as we know, has both a geographical and a historical meaning. Geography refers to a particular place, such as North India. And historically, Kurukshetra Devarishanam. Chakravarti Pada quotes in Madhyayam, this is the place where traditionally the Lord was worshipped. In Mahabharata itself, when the two sides are discussing where to have a war, see, when the Mahabharata started, they are not like terrorists going and attacking the military. They planned when they have a war. Without his army attack unexpectedly, like Pakistan attack or in Kargil or wherever. Both sides, because we have a war over there, you come there, we come there, we'll shake hands, not say that. But we will exchange etiquette and then we'll fight. So at that time, Kurukshetra is also referred to as Tapah Kshetra, in the place of austerity. So now, for the Kshatriya, you're fighting with austerity because you lose his life over there. So they choose this particular place to fight. So of course, Kurukshetra at that time was much bigger than what it is now. Bigger in the sense that the place which you call as Kurukshetra is very small. Other places are about 100 meters. So that is very huge. Now, the word Kshetra also has the meaning of field. And Kshetra also comes from the least chapter of the book. So Prabhupada indirectly gives them this purport. Dharma Kshetra means the field where dharma will grow. So that's why it is Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. So as we know, this Drasha question is not very sensible if we take it literalistically. Now after mass on the sample for fighting, what did they do? If they after everybody assembled to take prasadam, what did they do? You don't have to ask that question. It should be obvious. But that's why the first one is Dharma Kshetra. We are afraid that because of the place in religious, so the fruits of that, the grains of dharma are going to grow over there. And Vishnu Dharmaraj. So therefore, there will be inauspiciousness for my sons. So he feels that actually my sons should continue fighting because of Vishnu Dharmaraj. And Vishnu will show me. Now, in Mahabharata, interesting narrative would start. Actually, even Sanjay goes to the battlefield. And he's observing over there. And actually, the Bhagavad Gita. This chapter 23 to 40 of the Vishnu Parva of the Mahabharata. Chapter 23 to 40, 18 chapters of the Vishnu Parva. So, before that, the Udyog Parva, the Shanti Parva, all of them are taking place. In Udyog Parva, there are a lot of discussions. Again, that we should not fight. And actually, the same conflict which Arjuna will have over here will be, as we already discussed over there. So, Arjuna's single conflict is between two dharmas. That we'll discuss a little later. But, so Sanjay actually goes and Dhritarashtra has full confidence in Bhishma. With Bhishma, my sons cannot be defeated. And then, Sanjay comes back and after the 10th day and ends. Bhishma has fallen. What? Here Bhishma has fallen, Dhritarashtra falls. He falls from his fall down and conscious. And then he brings him back to consciousness with drinking water. What's the impossible thing that happened? Please tell me everything that happened. And then there's a black flash. So, then we just start to cry. So, Sanjay and Dhritarashtra are in other parts of the Mahabharata, they are characters about whom there is narration going on. But they did like this, Dhritarashtra did like this. But here, they are doing a narration of what others will be doing. So there are mystic conversations like this in Bhagavatam also. Now,
so he is afraid that, as we know, that
what will happen. So what actually happened? He's hoping that his sons will win and go the next one.
After looking over the army arranged in military formation by the sons of Pandu, King Duryodhana went to his teacher and spoke the following words.
Here, the word Raja comes once. Prabhupada's translation, the word Raja comes twice. Sanjay is addressing, okay, and then again King Duryodhana. Actually, here in the original text, the word Raja is used to refer to Duryodhana. Although Duryodhana is not made the king. Duryodhana is still the prince. In generally, most of the places in the Mahabharata, the Duryodhana is addressed as the prince and Dhritarashtra is addressed as the Raja. So then they have to explain why here Sanjay is addressing, he, although he is speaking to the king, he is addressing Raja Vachinam Abrahi. He is that Raja. First thing he wants to encourage Dhritarashtra. You know Dhritarashtra is different. Maharaj is Raja Niti Jyotiti Raja. One who knows Rajniti very well, he is a Raja. So he may not have the force of a king, but he is expert at Rajniti, at politics. That's why he is called a Raja. And how he is expert at politics? The subsequent speech, he will say that.
Pashyaitan Pandu Putrana Acharyam Mahati Jamo Yudham Drupaya Putrena Tava Shishyena Dhinata.
It's interesting that although the commander of the army is Bhishma, after seeing the opposite phalanx, whom does Duryodhana go to? Drona, not to Bhishma. Actually, he's very interested. He wants to make sure that he sees the loyalty and the commitment of Dronacharya and Bhishma to himself. And because Drona is a Brahmana and Bhishma is a Kshatriya, so he respects Bhima, Drona more and more man. So he goes first to Drona. But the way he will speak later on, he will appreciate Bhishma also. So, very cunningly interested. This is, you see, Ashayita. And of course, he wants to encourage him by using the word. Drupada Putre, you know, that's your role also in the purpose.
Atra Shura Maheshvasha Dhimar Dhinatamanti Yudhano Viratasya Drupadasya Mahartha.
The word Maharatha refers to one who can fight with 10,000 warriors and a king. Atiratha is one who can fight with between 1,000 and 10,000. A Rathi is one who can fight with one warrior. And Artha Rathi is who cannot fight with one warrior also. He needs somebody to assist and support. So you can all be there, Maharatha. And they have all said. So normally, whenever a war takes place, and other places also, the same process is followed. That you tell the Aspirant Army strength and tell your own strength and then encourage to fight. That's what Duryodhana is doing. And as Prabhupada explains, the greatest fear is human arts. He compares both of them to human arts. It's interesting, although Dhritarashtra started Dharma Kshetra and in his mind was Dharmaraj Arjuna, Dharmaraj Yudhishthira. But in Duryodhana's calculations, Yudhishthira is not very important. Human arts. Bhima Arjuna is the man. Later on, we will see Rajuna and Bhima are more important.
Vishtake Tushche Kitanama Kashi Rajas Chari Yavan Kuru Jit Kukti Bhojas
Chaitasya Narakumbhava.
Pungava, that is what Pungava comes. Muni Pungava, you know. Pungava is? A Pungava actually is bullock. So, bullock is considered the most powerful among the domestic animals. So, there is a lot of natural animals coming. Purusha, Vyagra. Vyagra is tiger. So, whenever it is to be compared, it compares to a very powerful animal. The powerful among domestic animals is bullock. The powerful among wild animals is lion or tiger. Sunarapungava, they are kings among, they are the bullocks among human beings, or strongest among the kings. And he goes on giving the list.
Vidhamasyasya vikranta uttama ujasya viryavan kudatro dropadeyasya sarva eva maharathana.
All of this, Sarvaeva Maharatha, actually, although on his side he has numerically great strength, he says, oh, there is so many Maharatha over there. So Sarvaeva is rhetorical over there. Then he starts, after describing the opposite party, starts describing the whole party.
Asmakam tu vishishyaye kananibo duryottama nayaka mama sainyasya samyasam sandravite.
Normal, the serious rupa takes samya rupena jnana. Let me inform you completely about it. But samya is also a technical word in warfare. It is the code word that is used. In that the warrior would fight in the evening or night, they are not able to identify each other. Because thousands and maybe millions of soldiers. Now, how do you know whether a particular warrior is from your side or from opposite side? Because even if you see him, it's not that all of them have a particular uniform. They have their badges. But you can't identify. So there's a code word. So every unit has one particular code word.
So you study?
Yeah. We'll discuss about the code word. Sanya. So then I discuss the code, we discuss the leaders. So each Akshauni is like one code. And he names the main leaders among the Akshauni, so that corresponding the codes are used. It means, you know, not everybody is Maharatha. These people have mentioned, they are Maharatha Sarvaeva. Like that means. Actually, basically, since the enemy formation, he has become fearful. So now, he starts speaking about his own strength. So, he starts with again, first Drona and then Bhishma. But afterwards, he is flattened in front of Tatra Bhishma alone.
Bhavan Bhishmascha Karnascha Dupascha Samitindraya Ashwathamani Karnascha Saumadakti Sakarivacha.
So Karna is not physically present on the battlefield, but he is very present in the mind of
mind of Duryodhana.
Actually, it is on the Bhima, Bhishma and Drona are stronger in terms of skills and more experienced than Karna. He knows that they are not as malleable. Karna is the most hateful among all his strong warriors. And as well, although Karna is not present, he is present in the mind. Who are on my side? You are there, Bhishma is there, and the third name, and then the other name comes in, Karna. So, actually, what is in our mind comes out, even if that is not present physically around. So, it is Karna. And then, Kripa. Kripa is also an elderly person. But Kripa does not know any celestial level. Let's say Kripacharya, he cannot be killed or defeated. He has almost like a grant of immortality. But he cannot cause much damage. So, this is something in the way. That's why Kripacharya stays alive in the end. And Ashwathama, he is also very powerful. But the next person, Vikarna, is not very powerful.
But here recognize one of his brothers. Why did he mention him? Because he is the Vatsra Aharan. He has protested. He is the output of all his body. And I flattering him, oh, you are one of the eminent warriors on my side. He wants to see this loyalty to him. That's right. So over the speech.
अन्ये च बहवः शूरा मदर्थे च प्रतीरिता नानाशस्त्रकरणा सर्वे युद्धविशारदः
So text the Gita, I mean they have given up their life for mission.
So actually, why is it like this? Today, ultimately, the purpose of the Dalai Lama is the heart. Technology will explain that in 11.33, after Krishna describes Vishwaroop,
there is Mayai Vaite Nihata Purvameva.
By my arrangement, all of them are killed. Already killed. So that is already. That already killed status, Tetta Jeevita.
And they already given up their life.
Although what he wants to say, they are all ready to lay down their life for him. He is actually trying to glorify their dedication to his cause. But indirectly, Mother Saraswati speaks to his tongue and makes him see the true but unpalatable truth.
Now, of course, there are many academic scholars on the Gita. They study without any rasa. So, yes, they can also get some insight. So, what this is, Tetta Jeevita is actually a mistake. It's not a mistake, it's actually a. So, the Lord is inspiring. So, Sarve Yudhita Visharama. So, interestingly, he names only a few people on his side. The list of the opponent side is longer. Because he's eager for the fight. And Sarve is all of you are very, very good. And then, next word.
अपर्याप्तं तदस्माकं बलं भीष्मानिरक्षितं पर्याप्तं तैरनेतेषां बलं भीमाभिरक्षितम्
First example of an apparent contradiction between the acharyas. So we come to a talk many times and we are not going to delve into all of them. But we will discuss a few things. So the word paryapta and aparyapta. Aparyapta, when you put a prefix to a word, it can modify it in both ways. Aparyapta can, if paryapta is taken to mean limited, aparyapta can mean unlimited. If paryapta is still insufficient, aparyapta means insufficient. So, now, Chakravarti Pada, actually, Prabhupada follows Balde Vidya Bhushan, and Balde Vidya Bhushan takes it literally, and he takes paryapta to be measurable or limited. They are protected by Bhima, their strength is limited. We are protected by Bhishma, our strength is unlimited. So, Chakravarti Pada takes the other way. Actually, our strength is. Our strength is their strength is sufficient, our strength is sufficient. Why? Because Chakravarti Pada goes to the heart of things. From the external point of view, from experience, expertise, and knowledge, Bhishma is far superior than you. From the point of knowledge, experience, and expertise, he is far superior. But Bhima has one thing in Bhishma left, that is fighting spirit.
Is just out waiting
to fight. Full
vigor.
And Bhishma, his heart is not
there
in the fight.
And because his heart is not there in the
fight, so he's limited.
Actually, yeah. Because Bhishma is not
like that.
That's why
we can
say
both are there.
So, if you
want
to put the external point of view,
Bhishma is much more powerful, much more. Learned is not of knowledge of scripture, they are knowledge of scripture also, but it is knowledge of warfare. Learned, expert, and experienced. More room. So, in this way, we see that the same truth is conveyed, but sometimes slightly different emphasis might be there. And that's why an apparent contradiction might come. So again, it's very interesting that Krishna Bhagavan is made the commander of the Kaurava forces, the Pandava forces. But Krishna Bhagavan's name doesn't come much. See, even after he's made the commander, Arjuna is guiding and practically supervising all of them. So Krishna Bhagavan is made the commander because he's supposed to point Drona. He's born to kill Drona. So he's made the commander for that purpose. But he's comparing Bhishma on that side and he's comparing Bhima on that side. अयमेषु च सर्वेषु यथा भावनवर्तितः भीष्ममेवाभिरक्षन्तो भवन्तः सर्व एव हि But this is all of his potential. It didn't happen that Bhishma is fighting from ahead and somebody attacks him from behind and cowardly doing what they do. Therefore, you stay in your position and you protect Bhishma. So in this case, all of you are also important, your position is also important. And Bhishma pleads to hear the glorification. And he also is very intelligent to see that he's playing all these games. He can apprehend the fear and his grandson's heart. And therefore, it is the next five chance. So what does Bhishma do? Bhishma blows the conch. So here, the action starts. Till now the observation is going on.
Tasya sanjanayan harsham puro vritta pitamaha sivhanadam vinadyochai shankham dadmam prakasavan.
So Nāda comes from Sriha Nāda and Vīna. So actually he blows his conch very loudly. And Asya Sanjanayan Harsha.
So Sanjaya is using his own name over here. Not exactly. Sanjaya, Sanjanayan is increasing.
Harsha is
the
pace will increase. Then everybody starts after him, the war is about to begin. So now everybody has started doing that.
अतः शङ्खाश्च भेर्याश्च पाणमानकगौमुखः सदैवाभ्यन्यन्त सशस्त्रस्तु पुरो भव. अतः श्वेतैर्हयैर्युक्ते महजीस्तौ माधव पाण्डवश्चैव दिव्यौ शङ्खौ प्रदत्तौ.
After the received shoe, and then you go upward, upward, and you say, face.
So, like that, first you go to the hospital. Then you say, oh, the big chariot.
Mahati,
Chandane, Siddhavu. And then, Madhava, Pandava, Chaiva. Then you say, then the action. Divya, Shankhav, Pradatmatu.
So, actually, it's a very photographic description.
A description.
How
he introduces the most important characters of the world. Then he blows the conch.
Panchajanyam Hrishikesho Devadattam Dhananjaya Aumtram Dadmamu Mahashankham Dhima Karma Mritodara.
all of them are blowing the horn. It's interesting. Like I said, so first there is Krishna Arjuna, then there is Bhima, and after that is Vishnu and Arjuna. So from the point of view of strength, Bhima and Arjuna are much more powerful. There is a hierarchy of power which is depicted in that view. So first their conscience are both Krishna Arjuna and Bhima, and now in Vishnu.
अनंत विजयं राजानं कुंति पुत्रो युधिष्ठिरः नकुलाः देवश्च सुभोषाः पुष्पकौ काश्यश्च कर्णेष्वाशा शिखण्डी च महारथः दृष्टद्युम्नो विराटश्च कात्यतिश्चापराजितः द्रुपदो द्रौपदेयाश्च सर्वशः कृतिदीपते सौभद्रश्च महाबाहो शङ्खं दद्मो बृहत्कृतः.
यावदेतान् निरीक्ष्य अहं योधुकामानवस्थिता
कैर्मया सह योद्धव्यम् अस्मिन् प्रणतमुद्यमे. Chakravarti Pada explained that when Lord Krishna came in this world, those souls were drowning in the ocean of samsara. By revealing his beautiful form and beautiful pastime, he drowned them in the ocean of prema. So from the ocean of samsara, he drowned them in the ocean of prema. And he was so kind that he gave liberation even to those who were inimical to him and hated him. But still the Lord was thinking, what about those who are not present on the planet right now? After I go back, how will they be related? So therefore, to cure a path to guide all of them, he arranged for his own dear devotee Arjuna to come and do it. So now, by the Lord's plan, Arjuna is coming out. So it's remarkable that what happens, if you see in these verses, several times the word pashyanta, I want to see.
So here again, what is the word here?
Nirikshya, ikshya is eyes. So pashya, to see, these words will come several times. And we will see what happens, what is the effect of seeing on Arjuna.
Yotsamanana veksheham yehete atrasamagataha tatarashtrasya durbuddhe vidhe priyakshirishavaha.
Again the word aksha. What is it? Aveksheham. I want to see. So Arjuna seeing is the cause of falling into Maya. When we try to trust our eyes too much, you see how many times the word see or something like this will come over here.
Sanjay Vacha Evam Bhukto Rushikesho Sadeshena Bharata Tena Yoruha Yormasye Tapanishvarasottamam.
But here is described that that Lord is conquered by the love of Krishna, the love of Krishna, and because of which he became the controller. He became the controller. The Rishikesh is used to show how the controller is obeying. Rishikesh, the word means that he is the controller. But the controller is doing what action? He is being controlled, he is obeying. One is what is the cause of that? It is love for the devotee. Now Gudakesh, as we know, is Maitre. Kesh is of his might of peace. Gudakesh is one of the conquered peace. Chakravarti Pada is one more meaning of this. Akesh. This is is a generic word which ends many meanings of Vishnu. This is A refers to Vishnu, Ka refers to Brahma, and Isha refers to Shiva. And Buddha refers to Jagadi. So, one who gives sweetness, one who gives the sweet taste of bhakti through Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu. That is Arjuna. What does that mean? It is that actually Krishna's bhakta vatsalya is so great that even not just Brahma and Shiva, but even Vishnu has practiced. As you know the past time, and towards the end of the 10th and 8th chapter, the Mahavishnu wants to see Krishna. So, by this Leela, where Krishna is becoming controlled by Arjuna, even Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesha are attracted. What kind of God is this? That actually he is becoming controlled by his devotee. The Buddha is the person, that person who gives the sweetness of bhakti to Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Then again he says, so, where does it?
Bhishma Drona Pramukta Parveshaan Chamahinshitaan Uvajapartha Pashyaitaan Samadetaan Guru Miti.
Bhishma Drona
also Parapashyatam. So here is the first word spoken by Krishna. But although it's the first word spoken by Krishna, it's not a full sentence. So it comes within it. That's why there's no Sri Bhagavan Vaj here. Vaj Parapashyatam. Now Parapashyatam. And then, actually, as soon as we desire to see with our own senses, Maya arranges to create situations which will tempt us. So, when Arjuna desired to see, the first thing that he saw, the chariot was went and kept right in front of Bhishma and Drona. That was his key point. So, he was weakened. So, actually, as you know, Maya knows our weaknesses, and as soon as he gives opportunity, Maya attacks with another. So, for Arjuna, his affection for Bhishma and Drona was a weakness, and that he could withstand. So, again the word Pashyantam, third time it has come. Again, in the fourth verse also, again Pashya will come. And what will happen to you? We see the change in Arjuna's perception like this.
Tatra Pashya Titan Partha Pitru Nathatika Mahan Acharya Mantula Suhatran Putran Pautran Sathin Tatha Kashura Chubhashchaiva Tenayor Bhayorati.
They saw this, and what happened?
Kansamikshata Kaunteyaha Sarvan Bandhu Navasritan Rupaya Paraya Vishto Vishintam Vidamakrami.
Earlier, what was he saying? I want to see Dhartarashtra Chaturvidhya Kirsha. Who are those people who are on the side of this foolish son of Dhartarashtra, Duryodhana? So there were enemies, but I won't see who they were enemies. But once he sees, what does he see? Sarvan Bandhu Navasritan. Oh, all of them are related and friends. So the enemies have suddenly turned into Bandhu. And it's not that he didn't know they were Bandhu, but he is not seen them as enemies. That is the effect of Bandhu. So as we know, the Bhagavad Gita illustrates through telling how the soul who is with the Lord, if he is depending on the Lord for acquiring knowledge, tries to acquire knowledge by his own senses and get into knowledge. So the setting of the Bhagavad Gita illustrates how by pratyaksha we go into illusion and by shabda we come out. So, by perception, that's where Akshay is coming, again and again. So, four times the verse was there. He sees, and what happens? He goes in. And actually, if you see, later on, Arjuna will do a very good amount of scriptural reasoning. It's not just reasoning, scriptural reasoning. You say, how Kula Dharma will be destroyed, how Pap will get destroyed. How do you know about Kula Dharma? How do you know about some scriptural? But once we have made pratyaksha our main source of knowledge, then even our scriptural reasoning will be misled. Why? Because we have forgotten the ultimate purpose of scripture. So by shabda, there are many people who quote scripture, but they come to completely wrong conclusions. Why? Because they try to use scripture to fit scripture's knowledge into their existing worldview and their existing goal of life. But scripture uses a new goal of life, and then it tells us how to do reasoning accordingly. So here, we see Arjuna going into religion. Kupaya paraya vishto. So paraya here is not transcendental, it is very strong. That is strong sense of compassion in both of them. And then, vishindan idamabharam. From here onwards, he starts speaking.
Arjuna vacha Krishvehaṁ svajanam Krishna samyuksum samupastitam hidanti mamadātrāni aham ca parishyati.
So it's the first time in the whole world Krishna is coming now. Till now, Madhava had come, Whatever, as Mr. Srijike has come, Mala has come, Achyuta has come, Krishna comes for the first time here. So, Janam, oh Arjuna, see, he says, oh Krishna, see, all my relatives are here now. And what is happening? He starts describing, he starts getting a sort of emotional breakdown. Chidanti mamagatrani, who comes to Vaishnava, is that? My mouth is drying up, we know all this. This is how it is. All of you know this simple.
Vetatrishya sharire ne roma harishasya jayate rani vamsramsate hasta svakchaiva parijayate.
As you know, he has taken a vow never to let down his Gandiva. So he will voluntarily never let down his Gandiva, but the truth of circumstances such that it's completely emotional, disoriented, drastic, and actually involuntarily the Gandiva is missing from it. Now this was a very important purpose from Prabhupada.
Vachashakuno mya vachhatu bhramati vachave manaha nirikani cha pashyami viparitani keshava.
So, nimittani cha pashyami. So what is the word nimittani? Yes, so now nimitta has many meanings. Later on, where does the word nimitta famously come? Nimitta bhav sarasavita, nimitta matri bhav sarasavita. There nimitta means instrument. So, but here he is using the word nimitta in terms of end result. Nimitta ani. What I want to say, I am seeing all the three end results. What is the end result I want to see?
I want to see destruction every day.
Either I will be killed or my relatives will be killed. What is the use of living? This situation. Now the word nimitta in Sanskrit also means omen. In omen, good omen, bad omen. So actually if somebody starts trembling, like if you read the Mahabharata, or the Ramayana, there are many occasions, for example when Sugriva and Ram become friends. And what happens? Then the left side of Vali and Ravana start twitching. And the left side of Sita also starts twitching. So for a man to have his left side twitching is inauspicious. For a woman to have the left side twitching is inauspicious. There are omens. So actually, there are certain situations that some omens take. Now, for Arjuna, he is thinking these are all bad omens. The Gandhi was slipping from my hand, my skin is actually getting hot and my tongue is drying up. So actually it is an emotional reaction because of his great trauma or his fear. And that emotional reaction is expressing itself in physical. But he is thinking, actually I am not causing these emotions, these are all bad omens. And because of these bad omens I should not fight. Keshava, I am seeing all Viparit Nimitta. Maybe when the Viparit Nimitta comes, we should not fight. So I should not fight. So now we start giving reasons why we should not fight. So here's the purport. The Prabhupada here, the last sentence. Everyone is interested in himself and his own welfare. No one is interested in supreme self. The word dimittani vipratani are significant. When a man sees the only frustration with that expectation, he thinks, why am I here? So actually, the essence of spirituality is a journey from selfishness to selflessness. So, when we are selfish, selfish means not just in the terms of what we want, the whole world as our property, but we are concerned with our own interests. Sooner or later, we come to a situation where whichever option we choose, there is frustration. So selfishness will bring us to the situation. I choose this, there is frustration. I choose this, there is frustration. So, just like some boys, they want to decide whether to become a brahmachari or not become a brahmachari. You know, if I become a brahmachari, then you know, there's so much hard work I have to do, and so much problems are there, and so much struggle, and
अनुकूलता इज नॉट फ्रॉम आवर कम्फर्ट पॉइंट, अनुकूलता इज फ्रॉम आवर सर्विस टू कृष्णा पॉइंट. सो इवेंचुअली एंड गिव यू रॉन्ग एग्जाम्पल, बट देन वी आर ऑलवेज यूज कैलकुलेशन वॉट इज गुड फॉर मी. Then at one time will come where nothing is good for me. Whatever options are there, both are bad. In material language they call it lose-lose situation. So Arjuna has come to that lose-lose situation. And Prabhupada explaining he has come, the root cause of this is not the particular circumstance. The root cause is the self-centered attitude. This is what Prabhupada is saying. No one is interested in the Supreme Self. And Arjuna is showing himself his ignorance of his real self-interest by Krishna's way. But real self-interest lies in Vishnu or Krishna. So now, what Krishna will do is, this is the whole process of the Bhagavad Gita, he will shift Arjuna's focus from his body to the soul, and from the soul to Krishna himself, the Supersoul. That's the progression of the Gita. Arjuna's focus on the body. And as the focus shifts from the body to the soul, and from the soul to the Supersoul, the lose-lose situation will be transformed into a win-win situation. So the situation will not change, but his focus of attention, his center of thought is changed, and by that time the perspective of the outside situation is also changed. Now he starts giving reasons. First of all, he says, I will not fight, and then he starts giving reasons why I will not fight. Nacha shreyo anupashyami atva svajanamave nakamche vijayam krishna nacha rajyam sukhamcha. So, he's saying that Shreya, apparently he's talking about long term effect. If you remember 2.7,
Kartpanadhyaya.
Shreya Sanyasin, Shreya will come. So, you see, I think the Shreya is what? I did not say. But there he says, I don't know what is Shreya. So, he's also not thinking in terms of prayer short term. He thinks in terms of long term. There's no long term, the good will come to us. So, the obvious good that is going to come is you're going to win the kingdom. And what's wrong with that? Then you will say, what is wrong with that? So here Arjuna's reasons for not fighting Arjuna. So as you know, CPSP, the four reasons you give in the chapter, C is compassion, P is enjoyment, S is fear of physical reaction, and D is destruction of family tradition. So, the first reason is from verses 27 to 30. Of course, it's not exactly so waterproof. There are shades of incision coming everywhere, as another place also. But, actually, Arjuna's first reason is compassion. It's not cowardly, it's compassion. That's why the word that was used was Krupaya Paraya. So Krupaya is compassion. And that is the first emotion that comes into you. How can I feel about it? But then you have to give them, what will I endure? So, the next reason that he'll describe is endure. That's from verses 31 to 35. And then, after describing this, the next reason will be described. So, this is the obvious good that you are going to get is the kingdom. No, the kingdom is of no use because I am going to lose all my relatives. So, Srila Prabhupada many times put several verses together and give one purport to them. If the verses are having one unit of thought, the unit of thought here is that I will not be able to endure. That's why Prabhupada clubs these verses together, four verses together, and give one purport to them.
किन्नो राजेन गोविंद किन्नो गोवेन्द्रजीतेन वा येषाम क्षेमवांछितं नो राज्यं भोगसुखानिय तन्मेन अवस्थिता युद्धे प्राणां त्यक्त्वा धनानि च आचार्य पितरः पुत्रा तथैव च पितामहः
Matula Shoshura Pautra Shala Sambandhinas Tatha Etam Nahantam Chami Nato Simadu Sukrana Apikrailo Kherajasya Eto Kindu Mahindrute Yatya Dhatara Shrana Papri Pitya Janadana
Madhusudana, one who feels the enemy. How can we? How can I see my friends? Janardana, you are protector of all humanity. How can we? How can you let? Or how can I, if you are in hell, kill all the enemy? So what pleasure in the life? That is confusing. So this is a pleasure calculation. There is no pleasure for it. Next three verses will describe the next thing, that is fear of sinful reactions.
Apamevashraye tasmāt asvai anātadāyinā tasmā nāravayam hantum tātarāśrāṣṭabāṇḍavān svajanam hi katham hatvā sukhinam yām mādhava.
Chakravarti Pal here quotes from the Vashishruti, describes the six Atatayana, Prabhupada gives the translation, so there were two also given. As we know, the Pandavas were all Atatayana, the Kauravas were all Atatayana. But he also quotes from Manusruti, where he says that actually the Atatayanas, if they are killed, there is nothing wrong with it. Now, the law codes, there are many law codes, there is Yavalpati, there is Manusruti, there is Parashar Sruti. So the Sruti in general are not considered eternal. So Manusruti contains many things which are not necessarily universally relevant. And that's why in Manu's code itself is described that if an assembly of Brahmanas comes and discuss and they feel that this particular injunction does not apply in this situation, they can modify it. Because Sruti are practical application of law codes. Just like the law, they say, if somebody kills, he should be killed. That is the law. But then you can have any exception. If a thief comes to kill in our house, and if we kill him, in trying to save our property, then should we be killed? Mm-hmm. If a rapist comes to rape a woman, at that time, somebody tries to, he gets killed, or the woman kills him, he should be punished. Not at all. Maybe in the first case, a milder punishment should be given. You could have stopped the thing very easily. Without killing you, but woman defended us, there is no punishment. On the other hand, if a soldier is fighting in a war and he kills someone, there is practically no punishment in the war. So you see, there is one law, one who kills should be killed. But there are exceptions. The person is killed as a thief, the person is killed as a rapist, the person is killed as any soldier. So like that, the law codes are never eternal. And here, the essence of Arjuna's conflict is a conflict between Kshatriya Dharma and Kula Dharma, which we discuss later. But Arjuna knows from the point of view of Dharma, there is Artha Shastra and Dharma Shastra. Now, Artha Shastra is for Kshatriya, Dharma Shastra is for Brahmana. So, Dharma Artha Kama Moksha, as you know. So, from the Artha Shastra point of view, Arupayana should be killed. Anybody in the aggressor should be killed. But Krishna, Arjuna is saying that they are not already Arupayana, they are not already. And they should be killed. And therefore, if I kill them, although they are Atatayana, still there will be
Pāpa Mūla Akshirane. We get exactly what Akshirane is. You think we will take shelter of this. We will become sheltered by this. We will be covered by this completely. So, Sukhina Syam Mana, what happiness can you possibly get if you kill Arjuna? So actually this is the reason that moving forward one by one. The first reason was personal emotion, compassion. Second emotion reason was also personal emotion, enjoyment. Third reason was fear of sinful reaction. So this is a very long term view. Little broader view. Thinking of not just immediately of all the future and the sinful reaction. Even if I get this, next reason is killing you, even more long term. Not just I suffering, our whole dynasty. Kulakshaye pranashyanti. Okay. Now he says, okay, you are the link over here. You can look at this. Yadhyaptetena pashyanti lobho parata chetasaha kulakshaye kutam dosham mitra drohe cha patakam pratam nageyam asmabhi paha dasmadhi vartitum kulakshayakrutam dosham prapashya dhirjanatana. So actually the same reasoning was offered to Duryodhana in the Udyogparva. In the Udyogparva, same thing, how can you kill your relatives? Share the kingdom and you can kill it. He said, so Kshatriya's duty means he has to fight. How can a Kshatriya be a coward? And he said, no. So he considers there the Kshatriya dharma to be greater than the Kula dharma. Kula dharma is to protect your family. And now Arjuna says, no. For me the Kula dharma is more important than the Kula dharma. So actually this is a conflict of roles, we often face. And all of us play different roles. You know, maybe you are a counselor, we are a counselor. And some counseling is having a lot of some major crisis in the world, and you have to face that crisis. You have to guide him there. And just talking, at that time you have to go for some important program. So we have a role as a preacher and we have a role as a counselor. Now, what happens is it's a conflict. If the counseling is problem is very serious, you may try to adjust and send somebody else for the problem. Otherwise you may tell, you know, I'll meet you after. So here, the Kshatriya, that Kshatriya role brings one duty. And it's in a particular kul. The kul is of the kulus. And all the warriors on both sides are the members of the same kul. So that is the conflict. He's having two roles, and the roles are in conflict. So he is thinking, the kula dharma is more important for him. And he says, no, but they are not considering kula dharma is more important. Krishna may say, the Gaurati Bhakti Krishna says, you know, but if they are fighting, then why are you not fighting? Oh, you are ignorant, but that doesn't mean you have to be ignorant. They are blinded by greed. But we should not be blinded by greed. So he's taking the moral high ground over it. And saying, yeah, we should not fight. And now he starts giving the last reason onward from here. Why we should not fight? What is the broader consequence? So why does he consider Kula Dharma important? Because of the whole Kula will get destroyed if I fight.
Kulakshaye pranashyanti Kula Dharma Sanatanaha Dharme nashte kulam krishnam adharmo vivavasyauta.
It's interesting, no? Kula dharma sanatana. Actually the only dharma, sanatana dharma is the dharma of lineage serving the Supreme Lord. But because of illusion what happens, it is considered temporary to be eternal. So she means Kula Dharma Sanatana. The Kula Dharma is not Sanatana. The Kula Dharma is temporary. The eternal family tradition will be destroyed. Actually it may stay for a long time, but we will not be staying for a long time. The Kula Dharma is not going to go on, we are not going to be in the same thing. So he says, oh, the eternal family tradition will be destroyed. And then what will happen? Adharma Bhivava Krishna Sadushanti Kulastriya Krishna Dushta Shuvasneya Jaya Deva Rana Sankara.
So
there. So, what does this mean? Actually, if the men are not there to protect the women get polluted. They may be seduced by somebody, or they may themselves have to cross marry with somebody else who is not of the same lineage. And then, what will result is Varna Sankara. So, Varna Sankara can be either progeny that is born outside marriage, or progeny that is born from an improper marriage. So, actually, the proper marriage function is very important. And Varna Sankara, what happens? Actually, for many people who read Govinda for the first time, this part is really incomprehensible. What is the woman in that community? And especially in the West, this purport of Prabhupada is considered to be like a form. You see, the feminist women are very strong, and Prabhupada is a woman under centurion and cannot be constrained. So now, Prabhupada is basically called in the Manasuruti Goddess. And Prabhupada never treated a woman in that type of like that. And the problem is that the living example may not say, and the world will see, and the world can misunderstand. But the point here is that women are more emotional, and that's why they can overwhelm the emotion. Men are more rational. That's the whole big subject. But here, in Kali Yuga, practically everybody is a Varna Sankara. So we don't understand the danger of Varna Sankara. But in the Vedic culture, if one son is born bad, it's like a nightmare. Now, if one son is born good, that is a dream come true. Most sons are born bad in Kali Yuga. So,
Jayate Varna Sankara.
So, the Varna Sankara will be born down. Kul will get polluted. See, actually, if you see in the Mahabharata and other places, many times the Kul is over. Oh, I belong to this giant. And you know, you are my father, you are my grandfather, you are my grandfather. And Arjuna is talking about, you know, you belong, you are the son of Kuta, you are Purnandana, you are the Kuru dynasty. So actually, these are all aparadharma. Kula dharma is not paradharma. But if the aparadharma can be used to inspire people to act according to dharma, that is also one thing. So it's not just bodily identification. It is bodily identification to say that I am born in a particular kula. No doubt about it. But if the bodily misidentification can also inspire us to act according to a particular dharma, then fine. The idea is that all of us should be inspired to act righteously. If I belong to such a glorious family, then I should act like that. All of you are Americans and you have come to India. Now Indians have such great thoughts about America. So you must do something wonderful, otherwise what is the use of your being American? Isn't it? Now they are not Americans and the people here are not Indians. And Prabhupada himself has taught that idea. But the idea is to inspire people to be devotional. So it's in the Ramayana, Mahabharata, and the epics. You see this talk about the Kula Dharma. Often, if you understand that Kula Dharma is talked about to inspire people to do bodily activity. It is not just for the sake of bodily identification. It can be a bodily identification, but the ultimate purpose is divorce from it.
Sankaro narakayaiva kula jnanam kulasya cha atamasti pitaro yesha lukta pito takasya.
Arjuna is not just an ordinary person, he is learned in Shastra. And he is thinking so much about what will happen to my ancestors. So actually, in the Vedic culture, it is considered a very important duty of the son to offer like this, offer the finger to the father of ancestors. And now that is not done, the ancestors may have to suffer. He is thinking that long term also, not just myself, not just my society, I want to learn. Ancestors, who will do the next step? Now why will that not be the people are Varna Sankara, they will not consider the meaning. And therefore they will not be able
to. Doshaire sai kulajnana Varna Sankara kaale Uttasyante jati dharma kula dharma shashashvataha.
Jati, dharma and kula dharma. All this is in the story. Now we will see later on in the Bhagavad Gita, actually the second and third chapter itself, Krishna will reverse all the arguments for you. So, now he is quoting higher authority. He is not saying this. And now he is quoting, I have heard from the Shri, I have heard from authority. What have I heard?
Vichanna kula dharmanam manushyanam janarama narake niyatam vaso bhavati yajishuna.
Now, Naraki Niyatam Vasu. Niyatam is actually not eternal in the sense of literal eternal, but for a very, very long time. But I have heard this, and therefore I will not fight. So now he is coming to the conclusion. Yeah, of course, it means that I have to go to hell, and all of us are fighting, all of us have to go. Anybody who destroys the Kula, who causes the destruction of the Kula, that one will have to go to hell. And then next three verses, he basically expresses this in he is lamenting, how can we do like this? And he says, see what I will do now.
Aho bhatamahastapam kartum yavatitavayam tadrajya sukhalohena antum svayanam uddhita.
Here, how is it in Rama? Lamentation. Mahatpapam. So again, he's talking about Papa. In one sense, the excessive emotionality that has been displayed by Arjuna over here, there's only one person in Mahabharata who displays it. That is Dhritarashtra. He's emotional and he's helpless. So Arjuna has come to that situation. Why? The same reason. Hridaya Gaurbalya. Krishna will talk about it in this chapter. Weakness of the heart. So attached. So actually, it's one thing to feel emotional, it's another thing to feel helpless. All of us feel emotional. But what happens if you're emotional and you're attached to something that's still not in our control, we feel helpless. It's like if the parents are attached to their child, it becomes a removed. The emotions are there. But this little child is doing the wrong, they're all friends, they're doing all wrong things. And they feel helpless. So what can I do? So that is attached. So actually that attachment is reduced, taking his emotions, aggravating his emotions and reducing him to a situation of helplessness.
Yati mamat apratikaram ashastram shastrapanyaha bhadarashtrarane hanyu tanme kshemataram bhave.
Arjuna has picked up his bow at the end of the Bhagavad Gita. His determination is restored. All of us may also find that, you know, most of, although we say that we should not rely on perception, but most of the time when we interact with the world, we see perception so much. We can't avoid it. So we also become overwhelmed. But by hearing from Shabda, my determination is restored. Shoka Sandeepana. His mind is filled with lamentation. Bhagavad Gita, what is wrong? Thank you.
through one of our heads. That also follows.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita